Hi there. This is I Should Be Writing, Season 17, Episode 34.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. Sitting home, watching Doctor Who.
My name is Merle Lafferty, and I Should Be Writing is a podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm having a bit of an off day, which I complained about last week, and I'm not sure how many times I can complain about that, but it just kind of happens, you know? We're going to continue with the trying to roleplay a confident author, which is funny because I'm kind of feeling that I got to roleplay a charismatic streamer and podcaster today. So, yeah, this show is to help anybody who's got doubts and is afraid to pursue their creative life, because I was for a very long time, and I don't want anybody to lose time like I did. So my current projects, I'm trying to fix the major plot problem in my novel, and it's going okay so far. There's just always the ripples. That's one thing that kind of intimidates me about editing, because if you change one thing, you got to make sure that it's changed everywhere, whether it's like a t-shirt color, or someone's race, or gender, or, you know, it's these little details, and it's, you gotta, like, search for all the keywords, like their names, and depending on what you want to change, yeah. So, work continues on that. I'm lucky because now I have two groups who want to do co-working with me. So I've got two sort of accountability groups, and I kind of pop between them I'll go from one to the other and stay. I don't just go back and forth, but pop between them and do writing and try to keep myself accountable. Am I reading anything new? No, I don't think so. I'm reading some nonfiction. I picked up, I don't have any of them up here. I picked up the How to Write Funny Books by the guy who was one of the co-founders of The Onion. And although the introduction of the first book turned me off a little bit because it's trying to explain on how hard comedy is by saying how easy horror and romance and any other emotion that you're trying to evoke in a reader, how easy all of those are. And I'm thinking, humor's hard. It really is. But that doesn't mean the other stuff's not hard. You know, is it easy to scare somebody? Is it easy to make someone cry? I mean, it's possibly just because I'm shy, but I feel very awkward writing romance. I'm working on it, but it's really hard for me. While humor comes a lot easier. So, except for that little, I think you're a little wrong there. I'm trying to get what I can out of that book. Anyway, so that's what I'm reading, sort of. I don't know any publishing news in science fiction. I'm actually proud of myself for knowing that there's a gas shortage, because driving around today would have been strange, because there were lines at all the gas stations, and I had half a tank and a pretty good fuel economy car, and I'm not driving anywhere, so I wasn't worried, but I would have been very confused if I had not paid attention to the news. But I don't know if there's any news going on in publishing right now. Or any, what is it, the main character of Twitter? If y'all know, then let me know. But I don't know if there's any news to report on. You know, Tree Lobster says all the emotion writing involves getting into the head of the reader and trying to predict how they'll react, and that's hard. You have to hope that the reader is open to what you're trying to convey, because, you know, if you pick up a Douglas Adams book or a Terry Pratchett book or Valerie's book, you might think, yeah, okay, I'm expecting humor here, but mine does not. I have a humorous tone sometimes, but I don't specifically write humor. And you have to wonder who's going to laugh if they don't, you know, it's like throwing in some horror into a romance book that people don't expect. Actually, it's not like that at all. I don't know what I'm talking about. More like romance into a lot of stories will have a romantic subplot. And you don't buy it for the romance, but it's there. And you don't know who's going to react to the romance well. And you don't know who's going to react to the humor well. So. Okay, Val's trying to find which publisher just sold. I see. So I have no news. I'm still just working on edits. Looking forward to baseball. Looking forward to the weather picking up. It was all scary and stormy here yesterday, and then now we got a cold front, so it's chilly and wet. It's not supposed to be spring. Spring is warm and sunny and happy. I don't know. Of course, we got climate change, and North Carolina has notoriously bizarre weather, so. So I have no news, good or bad. I just am kind of maintaining. But if you guys have good news, let me know. I remember I owed somebody a yay button, but I can't remember who. Crap. Did I write it down? Did I write down who needs the yay button? Oh, I did have one idea, though. I did have one idea yesterday. I'm going to be doing some fundraising again. I am part of Team Cypher. Nope, it's over here. I'm part of Team Cypher, and Team Cypher is doing some fundraising for St. Jude this month. And so I wanted to be involved in that. I was trying to think about what I could offer, because although I'm very happy being on the stream team, I don't know if there's another podcaster among us who live streams the podcast, which I do a lot of stuff on Twitch, but this is mainly why I'm here, is to bring you the podcast in a live setting that you can interact with. And so I was trying to think of what my specific show could bring to the St. Jude's fundraiser, and I realized I think I'm going to set a goal that if we hit it, I will bring you an entire episode of I Should Be Writing from the point of view of Evil Murr. Probably going to have a disclaimer of please do the exact opposite of everything Evil Murr is saying, but complete with mustache, possibly a hat, and lots and lots of bad advice. So I'm thinking that's going to be fun. We got Tree Lobster with news. Oh, I have some news. I'm up to 7 rejections and 1 request for the full manuscript. That is like, I don't have a button for that. I'm going to have to hit the yay button, but now, you know, that's even better. So congratulations. That's very exciting. Evil Murr stream will be a lot of fun. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, though. I don't know how, if I can be that contrary and mean the whole time. I remember there was one time when Matt and I, before Ditch Digger started, we were trying to do Good Cop, Bad Cop, where my advice would be a lot like I bring to I Should Be Writing, and Matt's advice would be, you know, stop whining and just do the damn work, because I'm tired of hearing you. And one time we tried switch. And I think he did a pretty good job, but I was just me with swearing. It didn't actually bring forth the bad cop vibe. I just said a lot more bad words. So we'll see if I can pull off the Evil Murr. I think that's going to have to be one of those episodes where I do a lot of prep. But yeah, that's one of my fundraising goals. I'm still thinking about Tiffany and Orzo from yesterday. We were talking about the Tiffany problem, which I did not know was a thing, being Tiffany as a name did exist a long time ago. I forget when, but it was a long time ago. But it's such a Valley Girl type name that we don't consider it earlier than, like, what, 1950 or something? And then someone said that they'd been dinged on a manuscript because of a reference to Orzo, because that was not believable. Elves are believable, Orzo is not. Dragons are believable, women owning property is not. Things like that. People get really upset about the strangest things. But if you have any news, let me know. Either email me or put it in the chat and we will share with everybody, because this is a... It's an emotional gig. It really is. And I know that. And I talk about it all the time. But there was one time when my husband and I traded a norovirus between us. And I got sick a couple of hours before he did. And when I was not being sick in the downstairs bathroom, I went upstairs to check on him. And he's like, I knew you were sick and I knew it was bad, but I didn't get how bad it was. He was just miserable. And because of how I've been feeling lately, I'm reminded of not necessarily rejections, but... You know, when you're eagerly surging forward in your career and you just hit a wall, and you know, you're logically, you know, well, I'll find a way around the wall and then I'll keep going, but hitting the wall hurts. And you know, that's why I have the yay button, to sort of take the sting out and to remind you that, just like, you know, cleaning up a bathroom after a rowdy Friday night at a bar is part of your job if you own a bar, or part of the job of whoever you hire, you know, dealing with rejections and edits going back and forth like a tennis match, and people not getting what you're trying to say on the page. That's all part of the job. And I would rather be getting these notes than not. Val says, there are so many walls in places you never even expected. Ain't that the truth? Yeah, and I never knew how you guys respond to the knowledge that it's hard for everybody. Because on one hand, I think you might think, oh good, the feeling I'm having when I, you know, hit 20,000 words and think that this manuscript is crap... My favorite author has that too. I mean, I was actually heartened. Years and years and years ago, I read Neil Gaiman's blog where he said he called his agent to say that, I don't think this book's going to work out. It's a piece of crap. And she's like, are you at the 35,000 word mark? And he said, yes. And she said, do you know that you call me on the 35,000 word mark with every book to tell me how terrible it is? And he's like, no, I wasn't aware of that. On the other hand, you might think it's a terrible thing, hoping that you could move beyond these issues we have with creativity and actually creating something and putting it out in the world and hoping people like it. But I try to build it in positive light. Essentially, you're not alone, and the fear and the loneliness you're probably feeling. When I first lost my first major award, I felt like no one has ever lost an award before. I am the first, and I'm the only one tonight, and I feel terrible. And even while feeling that, I knew it was ridiculous. At the Hugos, there are far more losers than winners just because of math. But still, I was just really, really bummed. Anyway. Tree Lobster says, I just had a beta read question in the MC dumping used cooking oil into a plastic bag and throwing it out. And this is a story with dragons, hyperdimensional cats, and cross-time traffic cops. Oh, boy. Yeah, I can't make my mother accept that you can't just write whatever you want if you're writing science fiction and fantasy. People are going to demand the most realism from you, even more realism from you if you ask them to believe something fantastic. Kit says, romance has the issue of having series of six hot Duke bros being spies completely believable, but the existence of one black person just destroys the suspension of disbelief. Yeah, yeah. Oh, we got another piece of good news from Under Pope. I got a held for further consideration note from one of the markets. That's awesome. Congratulations. Very good news. So I was going to go further with the LARPing, even though I'm starting to worry that our solo adventure of our solo LARP of being a confident writer is kind of falling apart. I think it's only falling apart in the mindset of the Save the Cat beats. And I think really I'm going to go away from the beats and just point out a couple of things that your attitude will drive how well you handle things. Especially when you hit a wall. You know, so I think some people are naturally driven to say, okay, you've rejected me. I'll show you. I'll write something even better. And other people are naturally, oh, you rejected it? Clearly I'm garbage. And the couple of times, you can probably guess which camp I'm in, but the couple of times I've tried to realize, you know, I'm just going to write out of spite. I've been happy with what I came up with. And I think deciding to accept that, no, those are wrong words. Deciding that other people can't have that much control over your career. I think that's really it. It's a matter of control. If we send out a story or send out a book and it comes back rejected, we could allow that editor to say, this story will never be published. As an editor, I just want to say, that's not what editors say. And if they do, they're jerks and you shouldn't send them stories. But that's what it feels like. That's how you feel when the story comes back, which is, this is crap and it's never going to be published. And you can either give that editor a lot of power and put the story in a drawer, or you can say, all right, I'll send it somewhere else. I might give it a spit polish. I don't know why that's spit. Don't do that. But I'll give it a polish and I'll send it back out. And that's where you have control over your story and you have control over your career. You control who you submit to. You control how many times you submit something. And as cranky as I've gotten about... Oh, dang. I'm sorry, guys. I'm losing my train of thought here. Yep, it's all gone. It's completely gone. Wow. I haven't had a brain freeze like that on stream live in a long time. Gonna go to chat for a second. Catwood says, maybe the you rejected me, I guess it's not for you. Yeah, exactly. It might just not be for that editor, and that is entirely plausible. There's several perfectly valid stories we rejected Escape Pod because they're not right for the magazine. I think responding to Alistair, the friend who told me to stop saying I was going to be writing first thing in the morning, was Alistair Stewart. And spiting him was one of the best things I've done for my career. I have been very productive this year, and I am so grateful for that. But I think also to try to drag it back a little bit to the role-playing aspect is you gain experience by experiencing things. That's why it's called experience. And, you know, you can't gain experience by just reading and imagining what it's like to be a writer. You have to go out there and you have to slay the dragons, or you have to try to slay the dragons. And when you learn that maybe you shouldn't have worn paper armor, that doesn't exist, then I hope you wouldn't have to learn that, but that's the first thing that came to mind. Anyway, you learn that you don't wear paper armor to go fight a dragon. That's experience. You learn don't submit fantasy to escape pod. That's experience. And so this is why I talk about writing and martial arts. I don't take martial arts anymore. But when I did, I was just amazed with the parallels, not just endurance and building calluses, but also you will get hit in martial arts. Your job is to learn how to block and dodge, but you also learn how to counter and how to take a punch. And in the same vein, you will get rejected. If you're the unicorn that has never gotten rejected, congratulations, but I'm going to be talking to the other billion people. I guess they don't all want to be writers, but still. Just like you're going to get punched if you do boxing or martial arts, you're going to get rejected. And that is all experience. I certainly learned a lot the one time I dropped my guard and someone punched me straight in the face. I actually regretted I didn't get a black eye or anything because it hurt a lot. I had like a tiny little bruise right here. And I'm like, I have a battle wound. Why doesn't it show up like a battle wound? And my glasses sat right on top of it, so it was really hidden and kind of uncomfortable. It was so sad. I made the mistake of telling my Sifu that I was regretting I didn't have a black eye. And he's like, oh, I can give you a black eye if you want. I'm like, no, no, thank you. No, I'm good. I don't need that kind of experience, going up and actually asking someone to hit me. No. One thing that's interesting is about life and dealing with all the little hurts that are slung here and there is we spend an awful lot of time thinking about what other people, what agenda they have. And again, that's where the rejectomancy comes from. That's where the fear of, you know, the editor says, these are just guidelines, follow them if you want, but I think it'll make the story better. Okay, does she really mean that? Is she going to drop the contract? Or, you know, we don't just take what's happened. We take what is the intent behind it. And sometimes that can get you into trouble. Like I am not a chess fan. I don't dislike chess. I just never really learned it to a level of really appreciating the masters. But I did hear that when, I believe it was Deep Blue and Kasparov lost because the computer Deep Blue made a mistake and moved a piece to a place that Kasparov was just like, oh my God, why did it do that? And he got so much in his head wondering why that move was made and what the computer was setting up that he beat himself. And, you know, when they looked at the program, they realized that the computer just made a stupid move. But he was second-guessing a computer and lost. And I try to remember that when I'm second-guessing why people are saying certain things, or if they really mean them. Because that's just so much effort. So much wasted effort. Going back to the Save the Cat thing, I think when we start to question, because we are on a pretty much on a solo journey here, when it becomes that bad guys close in and Dark Night of the Soul, that's when we're looking at the people who've rejected us, the teachers who told you that maybe you shouldn't write those weird stories, or the teachers who told you that you were, you know, science fiction's right, but you're not right for it, or whatever. Maybe they were wrong. And maybe you've got a lot more agency and control than you think you do. Do you need those people if you want to have a traditional publishing career? Yes, but you can't let one person, one rejection, tell you that you are on the wrong path, you are doing the wrong thing. The specific story you're trying to get sold is a piece of crap. You can't let that happen. And so it's grabbing onto and holding your own power and remembering that it's all yours. And yes, Kay Kimmy, like that one professor that told me to stop writing that genre crap. Yeah. I think sometimes, especially if it comes to depression or something, hearing that it's your agency is actually a little tiring, because while it's awesome to have control, taking control takes effort, and sometimes you don't have that effort. And I'm just bringing that up because it's happened to me. But when you get that experience, when you get that hurt, remind yourself that you are growing. It is just another step on the path. And I think I'll end it here for the RSS feed. You can find more about me at merverse.com. You can hear the full version of this podcast at if you support me via Patreon, patreon.com/mightymer, or you can subscribe at Twitch, twitch.tv/mightymer, where you can catch the live episodes. And I hope you're doing well. I hope you're wearing your mask. And don't let them get you down, because you should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I